We're live.
We're live.
We're live. We're very, very live.
Hello, mic check, mic check.
We're good.
Mic check, we're good.
We're good. Camera's on you.
Camera's on me.
Camera's on you.
Camera's on me. Put the camera on you.
Camera is now on me.
Camera's now on you.
Camera is now on me.
Okay.
We're going to do a little Facebook test here.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Thy separate self.
The separate self. Camera's on me. Wow, that sounds good. All right, let's start this thing right now with a couple minutes from this Baba Ramdas. I like the way he starts this off, and it'll kind of give us some fuel to start talking.
All right.
All right.
Go ahead.
Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. Can you hear me back there? Can you hear me in the back? Okay. So we gather again and again to reassure ourselves about who we are and how it is. Perhaps who we aren't and how it is. Because we get so caught in thinking we're somebody doing something, going somewhere, or there's something to do. I don't think I'm going to be giving the beginner's lecture tonight. I think I'll just let go, because I just looked at you all as you came in, and you're me, and I'm just going to talk to myself. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, just listen with your heart. It's okay. The words are completely confusing. Just assume I'm totally insane. I guess we haven't evolved to the point where we really can spend a whole evening just being silent together as a lecture. It's interesting that in the silence is really the answer to the mystery. The words just keep your minds quiet, our minds quiet, so that our hearts can hear each other. Because we're really here to acknowledge and honor our hearts. Not necessarily our emotional, romantic heart. Yep. Not our necessarily our anatomical heart.
Let's come out of that. Baba Ram. Baba Ram. I like the way he starts that out. I like that he kind of comes into it cold and says, you know, we're not going to do this beginner's lecture. I'm going to, because what he says is, because you're me, so I'm just going to talk to you like I'm talking to myself.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that concept. I like that idea. We had to read a book from Ram Dass, which I really didn't have much experience with him until I was in seminary. And then I got exposed to him and what he's doing or did. He recently passed. And he's pretty interesting dude. Pretty interesting dude. One of the things that came up in a conversation today with somebody was, you know, that this idea that you are the you that does the things you do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we think that we are the things we do. Kind of like what he says in the beginning there. He's like, we get so caught up in what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And we think, I feel like we should have a two shot somewhere. Cause
should I switch that up real quick?
Yeah, and I could just bullshit until then. Maybe with this shot, get into that too. Yeah. But I really do like that concept because I think it's helpful. This is the thing, like a saying like that, right? You are the you that does the things you do. I think initially, there might be some resistance to that. There might be like, because so often we think that our actions do mean something, right? But there's something within us that it's just like in disagreeing with something, mm-hmm. you know? If I just disagree with something, I seem to, it's so easy to kind of feel like I have legs to stand on. And so the idea that you are the you that does the things you do. We know actions are important. We know that what you do is important. What you do here, what you say here, how you act here matters. It matters. You can't just walk around being a fool. There's consequences for actions. But to go a little bit deeper, so just to pause for a second, all right, and let's just look at the idea. Let's not even go to this, is this true or false? Let's not even go to true or false. Let's not even go to right or wrong. Just for a second, we could do what we used to do when we were kids, which is, you ever see a kid playing with toys, you know? And he's got the Superman and the Batman, and they're like fighting and they're doing these things, you know? There's wonderment there. There's an imagination. I was a very imaginative kid. I didn't need a lot, obviously. And, you know, when the kid is like playing and then like the mom or the dad walks in on them. You know, you ever had that? You ever, when you were a kid, like playing and then like a parent or someone else walks in the room?
Oh, yeah.
And there's this like immediate response of like, oh, shame. Like, where's that come from?
Why am I shameful to play with my toys?
Why? Or even further, like, why am I shameful to be in this imaginary, exploratory, in a position of wonderment?
Mm-hmm.
How did wonderment become shameful? But I think when you make a statement like, you are the you that does the things you do, and I could even make a more bolder statement, right? Like, you are the second coming of Jesus. Right?
Yeah.
Red flags. What? And it's interesting that our kind of intuition, our ability to so quickly say, no, that's wrong, or that's not true, right? Like we take information in and we put it in one of these two freaking buckets. It's all we got is two buckets, you know? It's true or it's right.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's four buckets. You got a lot of sorting to do. It's right, but it's false. No, it's, you know what I mean? Like it's, and so we put them in these two things, and the concept of wonderment, the concept of, we're creatives, you and I.
Yeah.
So our whole life is about what can be, right?
Yeah. It's all using our imagination.
Yeah. We walked by, we were going to pick up food today, and there's an empty building,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And we won't say nothing about what's next to the empty building. No. But immediately, you and I both look in this empty building, and immediately we were like, we had crafted it.
We gotta
it.
Put walls up. We gotta do. I'm sure there's other rooms in there that we can use for offices. We can build three offices in there. Like
right, you're like the M, the H, the F. Then the crown goes right here, and
the crown on top of the building, so that everybody can see it from the road.
Right.
You know,
the wonderment.
Yeah.
What could be possible? And I think that's just such a great concept to go, let's inquire instead of immediately judging a statement like, you are the you that does the things you do. So now that I've laid that out, objection handlers, I think the thing is, like, for us in recovery, right, like we have to do certain things. We have daily disciplines that are recommended highly.
Yep.
And this is not just for people in recovery. This is for anybody who is trying to live a spiritual life. Mm-hmm. Anyone who's trying to be a whole human being comfortable in their own skin. Unless you're a psychopath, there's probably some disciplines you're going to need to take daily.
Yep.
And so these daily disciplines, some of them, like for me, one of my daily disciplines is making calls in the morning. So I have a bunch of different people I call. And if they don't answer, they don't answer. I call someone else. But I try to talk to at least, you know, 2 to 3 other alcoholics or addicts in the morning, mm-hmm. every day. And sometimes it's just talking about whatever. Sometimes you call and they're like, oh, here I'm doing, like, they need to talk about something.
Yeah.
And sometimes I need to talk about something. But that process for me is I'm checking on the me that does the things I do.
Yeah.
At that moment. When I read the devotionals, when I read the, you know, what do we call them? Devotionals, what's the other word for them?
The daily
like reflections. Daily reflections. Daily
reflections.
Yeah.
For some reason, I was like, wait, what?
But we do those things because what we're doing is we're checking on the I that does the things that we do. Mm-hmm. But we don't have to do that. Right? I mean, we can get up and go.
Yep.
And sometimes I do get up and just go.
Depends on how late I am.
Right. We've been through that.
I try to wake up an hour and a half before I actually, like, have to come here.
Yeah.
Because then I have a chance to, like, wake up. I have a chance to pray. I have a chance to talk to God. Mm-hmm. I have a chance to take a shower, you know.
It's so weird looking you in the eyes while we talk. Right. We're usually next to each other.
I kind of like it, though.
Yeah.
So it's more of a conversation, man. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Yeah, so you're giving yourself that time,
yeah.
Right, which requires discipline. But we're checking in on the eye that does the things that we do. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's just alcoholics and addicts. I think everybody who's human on some level, we can get up and we can believe the bullshit, right? Dylan said this morning, he said, getting caught up, get caught up, right?
Yeah.
We can get caught up. And we start thinking like what Baba Das said. He said, we start believing that we are these things, doing all these things, and we're so important. We got all this stuff to do. And we don't check in on the you. I think like a good illustration is like it's like your car. If you think about a car, right?
Yeah.
Let's say you got a newer car, right? You get in that car, really just got to put gas in it and drive it.
Yep.
Right? But there's a certain point in time when you're going to need to get the oil checked.
The tires checked.
Yeah. You might need to replace an air filter. You know how they do you when you go to the Jiffy Lube.
They'd be like, "Oh, this is wrong with it. This is wrong with it. Yeah. I just got the car 3 days ago, man.
They
chill."
They pull out the air filter. They're like, "Your air filter's a little dirty." It's always with the air filter. You know what I mean? It's like, the air filter's fine. Eventually, you got to do something. Otherwise, and you know how I know this? I had a Volkswagen Bug that I had painted graffiti on both sides of it when I was about 18, 19, maybe younger. And I forgot to put oil in it, and I'm driving down the freeway, and the engine just seized up. Yeah. That's kind of what my life would be like if I don't check in on the me that does the things that I do.
That's a good analogy. I like that analogy.
Yeah. And so, like, there's a thing in a car called a check engine light.
Yeah.
The check engine light is, I think, is the equivalent. The check engine light comes on, and you go, "Okay, why is my check engine light on?" And now, if you have a newer car, you take it into the Jiffy Lube or to Alpharetta car shop.
There you go.
Right? Alpharetta Service Center.
Alpharetta Service Center.
And you take it in Alpharetta Service Center. And your boy goes in there, he plugs in this thing and underneath the dash, and it reads the error code. Mm-hmm. Well, it says, "Okay, here's the error code saying that whatever," right? I think the equivalent in this metaphor, is this a metaphor?
It's a metaphor. It's a very long metaphor.
Okay.
It's a metaphor, yeah.
Yeah. So the equivalent of this check engine light in the metaphor is emotions are like a check engine light. When your emotions are getting kind of out of whack, right?
Yeah.
Restless, irritable, discontent, angry, frustrated, impatient.
Yep.
Right? A lack of ambition, you feel depressed, worried. All these emotions, they're like that check engine light blinking, telling you something's up.
Chickadee, check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. They're saying, check into this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, if you're not practicing disciplines and you're not talking to other people, then what usually happens is your ego steps in and judges the emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Nope.
To just burn this analogy or metaphor to the ground, you know, you get in your car, the check engine light's on. I'll get that checked out soon. I'll get it checked out.
Us alcoholics, we need to check it out right away. You know what I mean? And that's kind of the whole point of the 10th step, right? Is to be able to practice daily, like, or nightly inventory.
Yeah.
You know, checking your resentments, checking your emotions, talking to people if you need to talk to people about it. She should be anyway. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's always important to work that step.
Right. And that's kind of what we're talking about, right? Is you gotta that's inventory. It's really good. And there's, like, you know, sheets out there, like grids, and, like, you know, you can do one that, and it's like an emotion. If you feel it and you over 30 days you've checked that emotion off all every day, maybe you need to adjust something.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, there's an app. I use My Spiritual Toolkit.
Oh, what's that?
My Spiritual, a little shameless plug for him right here. Hold on.
My
Spiritual Toolkit. You can go to tools right here. It tells you your sober date, how long you got sober.
Uh-huh.
12 months.
In a row.
So it'll say spot check inventory.
Mm.
You can do that. Nightly inventory.
Yeah, they're all blank.
Yeah, they are all blank. Gratitude list.
Oh, that's not blank. Yeah.
Nah, I'm a grateful person. You can have there's a little journal.
Yeah. But you talk about your feelings.
My feelings. But yeah, it's a really good tool. I don't use it, but Just being honest here.
That's funny.
No, when I pray at night, like I'll go over, you know, my day, and I'll talk to God about my day.
Yeah.
And if I desperately need to talk about something, I'll talk about something the next day. Or if it's that urgent, you know, I'll pull one of my roommates aside and talk to them about it.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I mean, they pretty much know. You know, most of my roommates know what's going on.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's the thing, right? You have that. But what happens is, for some of us, is we stop talking to people.
Mm-hmm.
That judge comes into play, and the judge says, well, I know why you're angry. You know, that person didn't do what they're supposed to do. Or, I know why you're angry. You need food, or you need a drink.
You just need to eat.
You just need something to eat. Yeah. So then you never really get to that level, that layer, that you never open the hood. Jeez, I'm burning this thing down. You never tinker. And so...
You never put oil in the engine.
And it just...
I'm not a car guy.
It starts layering over each other every day.
Yeah.
I know this by experience, you know? And then you're the you, but you're the you behind all these things. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You're the you, and then there's all these layers in front of you that's buried you down.
It's all these masks that you have to put on.
Yeah.
You know, and wearing masks, well, nowadays wearing masks is, I guess, kind of good.
Yeah.
But in recovery, man, it's not like, you got to be your true self.
It's like a Russian doll. I always say it's like a Russian doll where it's a big doll, and you open it up and there's a doll inside that doll.
Yeah, I've seen those.
And you open it up and there's a doll inside that doll.
My parents used to have a Santa Claus one when I was a kid. Every Christmas, I used to take it out and just be so amazed by how many Santa Clauses were in this one big Santa Claus.
That's what it's like. It's like that. And so you get to that point where you realize, oh, I'm the I who does these things I do. Then you stay at that small, you know, here's another whatever this is, analogy, metaphor. You stay in that, which speaks to humility, right? But if you think about it, right, like the bigger those Russian dolls are, I'm just making this up, I ain't even thinking about this. The bigger those Russian dolls are, it's like that's the equivalent of us in our ego, right?
Yeah.
The more egotistical we get, the more it's, don't you know who I think I am?
Who I think I am.
Who I think I am. How important I am to myself. Yeah? Because, and then it gets, all this shit starts coming up. And then you're reacting, but you're not even reacting because it's not even you. It's the ego reacting, trying to protect itself. And if we don't pay attention to the I that does the things I do, then over time, maybe I don't go buy a bunch of drugs and die in a hotel, but I can become resentful, I can become angry, and ultimately I become disconnected with, I no longer have a conscious contact with God.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not the I who's doing the things anymore. I become this whatever version of me.
This Russian doll.
This giant Russian doll wobbling around. Yeah.
A lot of metaphor. We should have called this podcast metaphors.
Yeah. Or I don't know if those metaphors are analogies. We need to Google that. What's the difference between a metaphor and an analogy? Huh?
To be honest with you, I don't know. Maybe they are analogies. Let's see. Is anybody watching this right now?
What's the difference between gray and gray? What's the difference between stock and broth? What's the difference between?
You just type in what's the difference between
A meteor and an asteroid? Here, analogy.
After 15.
A metaphor is an implicit simile. Oh, that's not even more lost. While analogy is an explicit one. Boy, I don't know what these is, but you get
the
point.
Wait, so if I curse?
Yeah.
So if I curse, it's...
Then it becomes an analogy.
An analogy.
Yeah.
So if I say this explicit recovery is like an effing car.
it's like...
That's a simile.
Oh, okay. Put it differently. A metaphor is literally false, while analogy is literally true. Metaphors need a bit more imagination to interpret, while analogies are readily apparent.
I don't trust anybody that says literally that much.
Literally. I literally don't trust you. So, you are the you that does the things you do, right? So we've, to get to this moment right now where we're at, we've, number one, we've said, okay, if this thought doesn't ring true or doesn't seem right, to maybe be inquisitive, explore, have some wonderment to that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which if you made it this far, you already are at that point. And we're also trying to establish this point that this is progress, not perfection. This is progressive victory over ourselves. So slowly you begin to recognize who you are in that whole scenario.
I thought when I had a year sober, I was going to know who I was, but then I got a year sober, and the day I got a year sober, we did a podcast. I was uncomfortable that day.
Yeah.
I was really uncomfortable that day.
Yeah.
You know, and it's because I said it on the podcast, I think it's because I'm not really truly comfortable with who I am yet.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. You know what I mean? It's just something I have to work on.
Right.
You know, so.
You're probably still a couple Russian dolls in.
No, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely, actually. There's a whole bunch of onions to the layer that I still have to peel back.
Yeah, there you go.
The onion analogy.
Or
metaphor.
Or parfaits.
Parfait.
Yeah, that's what Donkey says in Shrek.
Donkey!
Yeah. Yeah, that.
It's a nice boulder. I like that boulder.
You know, something hit me last night. Woke me up.
A ghost?
No, just this thought. I think kind of this thing. You know, that I think you get tired of carrying all that stuff around all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's why I really like that idea. You know, is that I'm the person that's doing it. You know, and so if I can pay attention to me and get to know me, right, and get comfortable with me, then the actions, I guess it's like the actions are more, it's congruency. What I think, what I say, how I feel, what I do all lines up.
So what's the saying? Is I'm the person, what is the saying that you keep saying?
I'm just a dude disguised as another dude.
No.
Playing a dude.
I'm a dude disguised as a dude playing another dude. No, it's the analogy that you keep using. The
phrase?
Yeah, the phrase.
You are the you that does the things you do.
But, okay, here's a question.
Okay.
If I am the me that does the things that I do,
yeah,
right? So if I do these actions, does that make me, if I do some bad actions, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say I do something bad.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make me a bad person? Or is it just, no, I just made some bad I just took some bad actions.
Right. Well, the first time I was introduced to this concept, I was 33 years old sitting in rehab.
This is the first time. Well, I think I've heard this before, but this is the first time I've had a conversation about it.
Yeah. No, when I was sitting in rehab, and I'm going to tell you, I had a conversation with my dad, called him from rehab, or on like a little pass or something, I called him. And he was like, he didn't get it either. He was like, what do you mean? You know? But he's old school, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, you do what... So, again, like, this is where it's like, this is not like a blanket truth. Like, if it's true, it's true, it's true. It's like, this is like a perspective. This is turning the angle of the gem, you know what I mean? Like, the phone looks really big. When you turn it that way, it's like, oh, this thing's not that big. So it's like, you gotta, like, this is not... This is life we're talking about, you know?
Yeah.
It's not so clear cut. But yeah, like, you are not your actions. That's different than you're not responsible for your actions.
Yeah. There's still consequences to your actions.
Right. Right. And I think that's the thing about it. Like, when I first heard it was, I was so action driven. I still am a person who's action driven. Mm-hmm. Like, if I think it's like, you know, do you really believe what you say you believe? If you do, then there should be some action, right? Yeah. There should be some transformation. There should be some change, right? And so I do believe in taking action. Where the issue is when I believe that that the action is the sum of my experience. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I lose track of the fact that I'm the person taking the action, you know, that's when I start kind of getting into that Russian doll kind of thing. I start getting, because I see those actions and then I see the way people respond to it or don't respond to it, or how an expectation is unmet because of that action, right? Which I get a lot of times for what we do here. It's like, sometimes I think, man, I was just thinking, slow roll, man. We've been doing it organically. We're not throwing a bunch of money at this, you know, like we're working really hard at this. And so I can get caught up in that action. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. If you do bad things, it doesn't make you bad.
It just means you slipped up or made a couple bad decisions.
Yeah, well, even that's casting some sort of judgment on it.
No. Yeah.
Right? Even that's casting some sort of like shoulda, woulda, coulda. Because the reality is we said this the other day, like that I'm not the same person I was last night when I woke up in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
I've had experiences. There's been change in my psyche, my conscience.
Dreams will even do that.
Dreams can do that. Yeah. And so I'm different than what I was. And, you know, that can be, if I'm like in this judgmental state, then I can look at my actions from yesterday and be like, well, I should have done things differently. And, well, that's a horrible place to be. I mean, the word should, we should probably stop saying the word should. That's a negative word.
It is a negative word.
Right?
It means it's implying that, you know, things should be different.
Yeah.
I guess, right?
Yeah. It's implying guilt and shame.
Yeah.
It's implying that you had control. And there's this thing called the Four Agreements. One of the Four Agreements is to do your best. And if you have a day where you're like, I didn't do my best, well, then today you try to do your best. But to get caught up in yesterday not doing your best, you know, that's feeding into that whole. And so when you're able to separate yourself from your actions, and not like in a dysfunctional way, but to understand that you are the you that does the things you do, you know, things are like paradoxical. It's like, as soon as I realize that, it's when the things I do begin to represent more who I am. Mm-hmm. That's a congruency. And not that anything was really off yesterday. Yesterday we had a great day. We had a great event we did. It was very meaningful.
Yep.
For Memorial Day.
God bless all those people.
Yeah. And we executed perfectly as we could, or as planned.
Yep.
Right? That's what I would say perfectly is. We executed as planned. A lot of people got a lot out of it. They enjoyed it. And, you know, I don't know if you experienced this yesterday, but I used to get this all the time with events. Is you kind of building up and you're working towards this event, and you do the event, and then the event's over, and you're kind of like, oh, now what?
What do I do?
Yeah.
It's kind of how it was when we got back here. It was like, all right, well, let's take the rest of the day off, I guess.
Right. Well, we were going to like power through, and then it was just like, oh, well, I mean, you know.
I even went to the gas station, got a Red Bull. I was like, ready. I was like, yeah, let's go.
I was like, did you crack that thing yet? Because maybe we should shut it down. But, you know, there wasn't anything really wrong with yesterday. But there was something about it where in the middle of the night, I just kind of like got that kind of something was on me, you know?
Well, have you ever heard of living in the tens?
No.
So there's... days where there's going to be tens, right?
Yeah.
The days are going to be all the way up here, right?
Yeah.
And then there's going to be ones.
Yeah.
There's days going to be, you're going to be down here, you know? And so when you go from an event or like a thing or a day that was a 10.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you start sinking down.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? It's kind of like, well, what do we do now?
Right.
And that's where it's okay to be okay.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because a lot of times people will freak out and will be like, well, I'm not living in a 10 anymore, so I'm at a zero.
Yeah.
But no, you're at like a 5, a 6, or a 7. You know what I mean? Like you're still good.
Yeah.
You're still up there. You know what I mean? You're just not at that 10 anymore.
Right.
So now that you're not at that 10 anymore, it seems like you're at a 1 or a 0.
Yeah.
Because you're no longer at a 10.
Yeah.
So when it's okay to be okay, which is kind of how my day after the event was yesterday. It was just
okay.
It was kind of okay because I was like,
yeah,
what do I do now? Right. You know what I mean? Because the event was like, I got a lot out of it. You know what I mean? Like we killed it. We did as much as we could.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a 10. It was a 9 or a 10. You know what I mean? And then you were like, all right, let's just chill the rest of the day. And I was like, boop.
Yeah. Boop, right. What do I do with this?
It's like, I'm not used to having this much time. You know?
So. Yeah. And like not having this much stimulation and things to do and the busyness. And that's what I'm saying. Like we get caught up in all those things. And then when you do kind of even back down and you're just left, it's like if you've ever hosted a party at the house, you know, and then you did recently, not on purpose.
No, not on purpose at all.
Right.
Shout out to them.
And everyone leaves and then you're in the house and you're like, whoa, what the heck?
It's all a mess and everything.
Well, yeah, it could be a mess, but there's. You have this noise and the stimulation and this energy that was in your house, and then it's gone, and you kind of like lull.
Nope.
And yeah, addicts, I think, aren't good at that. And I don't think a lot of us aren't good at that. Humans aren't good at that. But when you believe that that your emotions or interpretation of the reality is actual reality. And when you don't understand that you're the you who's interpreting reality,
mm-hmm.
right? To put this thing in a different way, then you believe the bullshit. You believe your interpretation of the reality, right? And it's about like, this is what I'm saying, like the separate self. That's the separate self.
Yeah.
You know, that's like the self that's in conscious contact with God is not that separate self. That's us.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not like, you know, I don't know what you believe in God, what you believe about God, but it's like, it's not like God's like, didn't see what you did last summer, you know?
Oh, God saw what I did last summer.
Right. Or doesn't know what you're thinking or whatever. Like there's no, but we think that there's some blind spots.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, like when we believe our own interpretation of reality, which I think is what a lot of us are addicted to. We're addicted to our own interpretation of reality. I think it's this way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We talked about that last week. We're talking about how like how I don't need to be on drugs to think the worst about people.
Oh yeah.
My mind already is just constantly trying to craft and paint this picture.
At what, 7, 8 years sober?
Yeah.
And I'm still either way at a year sober. So,
yeah.
You know, like.
This is a human condition. This is a spiritual condition. This is not like, this is what it means to be actually. It's like we're becoming real boys. You know what I mean? like Pinocchio, you know? Like we're becoming.
I'm a real man.
Right. We're becoming real. Real human beings. Yeah, and so like that's a good feeling, but usually we got to get through a bunch of crap. But I think most people are addicted to that, to their version of reality, and they don't like to think that they're the ones. Also, too, like if you're the you that does the things you do, then guess who's like when you do something stupid. Guess who's to blame?
You,
right?
No, you know? Not me. You.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and
it's never me.
And that's the thing. That's when blame comes in.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and it's not about blame, but it's about responsibility for your actions. So, if I take certain actions and I continue to take those actions, I'm going to get the result of those actions.
It's about taking ownership.
It's about owning it.
You got to own your shit.
Yeah.
Ownership.
Right.
Ownership.
Yeah. Own your ship.
Own your ship.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you say, oh, I'm the me that does the things I do, then okay. Then there's some sort of responsibility. What it does, I think, is it opens us up to this sacred space between us and God. If you're thinking of that Russian doll thing, right? There's this space. And if you're spiritual on any level, you know that space I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's when you're like alone overlooking the crazy mountain view, or when you're with a loved one, or you're looking at your child's eyes, or you're looking at your dog or your animal's eyes. Or, you know what I mean? Like there's something happens. There's this thing where you get to this space and this place, and that's where the you is within that, you know? And I mean, you know, I think of like a production, like if you think about the production we did yesterday, right? Or even doing that on a larger scale.
Mm-hmm.
There's all this action and stuff happening all around, right? Like when we used to do big productions at like Mandalay Bay, there's security bringing talent in and out. There's 13,000 people in line to get into the arena. There's the sound guy doing the thing. There's the set guys moving stuff around. There's the people parking and people, and there's this whole thing going on. And in the middle of all this is this room called the production room.
Yeah.
And the production room is usually, by this time in the event when everything's moving, it's usually the executive producer, maybe a couple other key producers who really don't have a practical task to do at that time. And you walk into that room in the middle of that kind of production, and that's like the center of that's the eye of the storm.
Yeah, it's like the calmest part of the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Right. I mean, think how calm it was for us when we were, you know, running the switcher and we were pushing videos live and we had the guys talking and we were cutting through all that stuff. There was a lot going on, but it was also that room was like this sacred little space.
Yeah.
You know? And that's why we chose to do it from City Hall, because we were like, we need to make sure that we're in a sacred space.
Yeah.
And I think like this concept of I'm the me that does the things I do, it allows me, at least in that narrative or that interpretation of things, it allows me to create that sacred space for me and God to be in. Because there's really no room for no one else in that little spot.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah.
When was the last time that you felt like, you were the you, and you understood you were the you, and you could kind of just be with you and God?
It would definitely be when I'm alone.
Yeah.
I can tell you that much, because I just can't. When I'm around other people, like, I get just kind of easily distracted, I guess. I don't know if that's the right word.
You kind of reflect other people's energies.
Yeah, I kind of just like
soak in their energies.
I soak in everything that kind of other people are doing. And I'll look around like when I'm at like my rehab or whatever, and there's before the whole pandemic hit, and there was like, you know, 60, 80, 100 people around. Like I would just stand up on the stoop sometimes and just look out.
Yeah.
And just be like, everybody here is like sober. And we used to be like high as hell,
right?
Or drunk,
yeah,
or shooting up, or whatever it is,
yeah,
you know. And like that's when I felt like a connection with God.
Yeah.
And when I feel, I shouldn't say feel grateful because gratitude is an action, right?
Uh-huh.
But that's when I'd feel that.
Yeah.
You know, I would be like, this is a miracle. Every single person here is a living miracle.
Yeah.
You know? So that's just one instance.
Yeah.
That I can just remember straight off the top of my head. But I would do that a lot. I would just kind of stand up on the stoop and just look at everybody.
Yeah.
And just kind of soak it all in.
It's like a stoop? Like, what you mean like a stoop?
Like the stairs go up. And there's like a little platform, and then you go into the shop.
Where are you guys at? Like at an old plantation house?
No, it's at a warehouse.
Oh. I thought you were like an old plantation.
So what it is like the warehouse is like here, right?
Uh-huh.
And then you go out these doors.
Totally understand exactly what you're saying right now.
Yeah. I can see it in my head, so it makes so much sense right now. Yeah. You go out these doors, and there's like this stoop. Uh-huh. There's like this little, when it's got rails on it and everything.
Porch,
I guess you could say is another porch. Word. Yeah, I guess another word for it, right?
All
right,
patio,
whatever, you know, and then you go downstairs and then it's the parking lot.
Yeah.
And the parking lot is like where everybody will go outside to like smoke or
just
whatever.
Okay.
And it's like our own now private little area in the back.
You're like the Lion King on top of the thing.
So I'll be like, Sylvania. Right. Holding up Simba and stuff. Simba.
So when you're in that environment, in that situation on occasion, you kind of, and I think what you're, it's a good illustration because it is, it's like taking a step back, taking a pause. There's a really cool song that take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. Like that's kind of like what that, to me, it's what it sounds like. You're taking a pause and you're just looking and becoming the witness.
No.
You're becoming an observer. There's some wonderment there. There's some intrigue there.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
But I loved doing that because I would just like, whenever I'd feel like stressed out or anxious or any type of feeling or emotion or whatever, I'd be able to do that when I was over there. And I would just like kind of calm down a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I get to like actually see God's work in action by like 100 different people.
Yeah.
You know, so it was like, it's just a cool thing to be able to look at and see. And I think that's one of the things that like I miss about this whole like pandemic and not being able to like do that.
Yeah.
You know,
getting everyone is.
I mean, because 30 of them did come over to my house one time, but I was in no condition to sit back and be like, oh, you guys are all sober.
Yeah.
So happy.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I got to be at work at 6:30 in the morning. Y'all got to get out.
Yeah. This ain't the stoop at the rehab. This ain't the plateau at the rehab. This is my house.
Please leave.
Yeah. I think sometimes, man, I'm so experiential. Like, everything's like an experience. And I also, too, think like I read and I read about these things a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't read enough. I need to read more.
But. Yeah. Well, it's good. But the, like, you know, in true human form, you know, it's almost like I'm reading about all these things and then not like really experiencing that moment enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel like that's what woke me up last night. Was this kind of like, where's that moment? I watched a show, and that tripped me out, but that kind of helped me, kind of changed my perspective a little bit, slowed my brain down. That's my issue. My issue is my brain is always going 100 miles an hour.
That's how it is with a lot of creatives, though.
Yeah, what sucks is like there's some people that I know, really good friends. And they're such people of action.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been trying to combat that fiery mind with action, you know? But yeah, like, I don't know, man. I really do desire that. And I think like in a Christian wording. It would be like an intimacy with God, mm-hmm. you know? And sometimes it's like, I can be completely alone with nothing to do, and my brain is just
all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
Just knocking off the walls.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I am, too, is I don't think it's, I can't really, like, word it, because I don't think it's, like, that hectic.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, there's just, I get obsessive. I think that's the right word for it.
Yeah, that's a good word.
I get fixated on, like,
yeah.
one thing, right?
Yeah.
And then until that problem, that issue is solved, until, like, whatever, like, until I can figure out how to do something with that one thing, it won't go away.
Yeah.
Like when I'm at work or whatever, like it'll be fine. Like when I have other things to do, it'll be fine. But the second that like I have like a second to myself, it hits like a freight train. Yeah. It's like the obsession just comes back.
Yeah, because there's a certain level of satisfaction in action.
Ooh. Yeah. Satisfaction in action, baby.
There's a certain level of satisfaction in action. It's like, I can see if I get up and I clean this place, I can see the results of my actions, and you know, and that's cool. But I think it also kind of circles us back to that I'm the one who's doing those things, and if that person there is not being taken care of, then I can easily get caught up in all those actions, and all that stuff, and. You know, I read you this the other day. I had it saved here, but it was one of a meditation for the day. I'm not sure exactly where it comes from. So, but it says, I must overcome myself before I can truly forgive other people for injuries done to me. The self in me cannot forgive injuries. The very thought of wrongs means that myself is in the foreground. And it's really kind of aiming it towards to resentments, you know? Mm. But I think like when it's talking about self there, it's talking, I think also talking about that separate self, you know? Because the you that does the things you do, that you, that sacred space, that you that's completely naked in front of God, right?
Yeah.
That you is not worried about what anyone thinks. It's not worried about what should happen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's not casting judgment. It is. It just is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's...
And that's kind of where we all should be, right? Or we all want to be, need to be, want to be.
We can be. I think it's where we all can be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whether or not you can exist in that perpetually, I don't know that, you know. But I know that it was the sorrow I felt last night that kind of put me in a place where today I didn't believe the bullshit today. I woke up, I did the things I needed to do, but I was kind of observing it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of uncomfortable because I'm looking for some sort of immediate spiritual feedback. That's really what I want.
Yeah, I mean,
I want some
addicts.
Confirmation that like this right is away. Working. Yeah, yeah.
The instant gratification.
Right. It's like, how many times did Moses walk by the burning bush before he realized it was burning? It's like how many times did Moses walk past that bush before he realized it was burning? He was, you know, and it's the same thing for me. It's like, how many times do I have to get so caught up in my life to realize that I'm the me that's doing all these things? Yeah. How many times do I have to get to that place? To, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm approaching ordination next week. And that's like a very deep process. So I don't think there's any coincidence to why I'm feeling the things I'm feeling right now. Because I think that there's a definite call. There's like a reminder that's, you know, a dinner bell being rang that's saying, come home, you know?
Yeah.
Get, come back to reality. Oh, there goes rabbity.
Choke, he's so mad, but he won't give up that easy. Nope, he won't. I could go on.
Yeah, but. so look it. This is you're not the you that does the things to do. You are not your thoughts. You have thoughts, but we really believe we are our thoughts.
If you think about robbing a bank, you're not a bank robber.
Well, it's like what you said on Friday night, that you had a revelation recently that you thought that there was a difference between a craving and thinking about using.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And what, you remember what you said about that? What were you saying about that?
I was saying that somebody said it in a meeting, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying that, like, there's a difference between having that craving and just thinking about it.
Yeah.
Because, like, I think about using all the time. That doesn't mean I want to use.
Right.
You know, that doesn't mean I want to drink.
Right.
That doesn't mean I'm going to drink.
Right.
You know, it's just like, it's a thought. I can't control my first thought.
Right. You know? But even then, like, even if you do have the urge.
Go ahead.
What?
Go ahead.
What?
I was going to say I can only control my actions after the fact, but go ahead.
After the thought.
Yeah. After the thought.
Yeah.
Or to change the thought, because right. I can easily change it.
Yeah.
Right after, but I can't control that initial thought.
That flies by.
Yeah.
So, like.
But then I can start, like, I can be present. I can be
it's
in
like
the moment.
A stork with a bag of dope in its mouth flying by, and you're like, oh, this looks good.
Like, but oh. I can easily bring myself back in the present moment, man. I could be like, oh, this is my hand.
Here I am.
Here I am, right here. It's like that meditation that we were just watching that on Netflix.
Right. But even when you have a craving, somehow that doesn't legitimize the thing.
Yeah.
It still
doesn't make me a bad person.
It's still just an emotion. It's still a physiological response on some level.
Yeah.
Right? It's really just, it doesn't mean that because you have the craving that all of a sudden, like, you're closer to a relapse, or you're closer to messing up.
Or that you have messed up. Because that, right. That was my thing, is like, I didn't want to tell anybody because I was like, you know, I'm like coming up on a year. Like, I don't want to, like, I shouldn't be having these thoughts.
Right.
You know, I shouldn't be having, like, nobody should know this. Like, I don't want to tell anybody.
Right. You know? But when you realize that you're not your thoughts, it kind of frees you up to say, yeah, I had this thought.
Yeah. And that people weren't going to be like, oh, well, you're.
Right.
You messed up because you have these thoughts. Right. Like, no, like, that's not the case at all.
Man, if you came to me and said, I thought about using, I'd be like, boy, I already been thought about it. You know? I told somebody the other day, I said that. I said something about that. They're like, oh, well, I don't really think about that anymore. And I'm thinking, you lie. You know, you're thinking about something. If you're not thinking about, like, and this is not obsession, but it's a natural inclination. We want to control our reality,
mm-hmm.
or we want to escape our reality, you know? And the idea that you are the you experiencing reality or interpreting the reality that you're in, it frees you up, man. It frees you up. I think that's what you see, you know, I that's what I see when I read the accounts of Jesus walking around. You know, I think Jesus was well aware of, you know, what was going on.
Yeah.
You know, he understood who he was. And I think that's like the one of the goals that we get or aim towards. One of the promises that we are to receive in recovery is to begin to know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of that process. When you know who you are, then you know that, oh, I'm not all that stuff. I'm not all those thoughts, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's really helpful to me. And then it's about pausing, taking that moment And what's important for me is oftentimes when I do that, and you hear me doing that all day, you're always you know, calling me out on it. But it's like I'd start judging that. Mm-hmm. You know, I start judging the thought, or I start judging the situation. And that's me moving further away from the me that's in there, you know.
I don't know if this is real or not, but I told you, and that was like when I first heard this is when I started calling you out about it.
Yeah.
Like 98% of your thoughts are negative thoughts about yourself are negative.
Uh-huh.
98% of thoughts that you have about yourself are negative.
Yeah. I don't know if I believe that or agree with that.
I don't know either.
But
that's what I've heard. And so I kind of started running with it because I was like, I started kind of paying attention.
Yeah.
And a lot of the thoughts, the majority of the thoughts that I do have about myself are negative.
Yeah.
But then I try and change them.
Right.
Right. Especially with all the stuff I've been having going on, like recently, I've been like really thinking negative thoughts about myself.
Yeah. Right.
You know? And so I'd be like, I'd try and just switch it real quick.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, no, that's wrong. Stop.
I think too, like,
and so that's why I've been, like, ever since I heard that, that's why I've been trying to call you out about it. Cause like,
right, because it's a subconscious thing.
Yeah.
You know?
But it also helps me, you know,
yeah,
be better at that with myself also.
Be better, hashtag. Be better.
Shout out, Lee.
Yeah, dude, I mean, I think that when we say the word love, that, you know, we oftentimes connect it to emotions. We connect it to romance. We connect it to desire. We connect it to longing. We connect it to lacking something.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, you know, to take back kind of the ownership of that word love, you know, because if I am in that place where I understand that I am the me that's doing the things I do, if I'm in that spot, then there's a certain level of love, acceptance, surrender, peace, stillness, just being that's there. That's not calling me out on anything. That's not telling me I should, ought to, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's just there. And yeah, it's a subconscious thing when I'm sitting there going, you know. And so we have the opportunity to strive to be better. So when I'm looking at my camera work and I'm editing that stuff and I'm going, I should be better at this. Internally, I can hear this kind of, I don't know if it's like a God thought or whatever, but I can hear like the sage voice, this like old wise version of me. And he's like, oh, maybe we need to invest in a steady cam or, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe you need to breathe a little bit, or you should have brought a tripod, you know?
Should have brought a tripod.
Yeah. Like maybe. And it's like, okay, there's room for improvement.
Yeah.
You know, and when I create that space between me and those things, that's when I see the opportunity to grow. And but when I'm caught up in all the bullshit, man, I don't see it.
Yeah.
And it's an illusion. It's the illusion of control. And it's not a place to surrender. Like old Jackson said, back to step one.
Yep.
Right?
Stay stopped.
Stay stopped.
Shout out, stay stopped.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't know. That's kind of all I got.
We've been going on for an hour and 5 minutes, four wow. minutes.
I didn't want to do this, and then you were like, started setting everything up.
I already started doing that. I'm stuttering for some reason. Stutter.
Yeah.
I even stuttered saying stutter.
All right, we have the crown hats for sale.
We do. We also have a faith shirts, t-shirts.
Yeah.
And
we have some shirts. And
what do they say? Truth? Someone that says truth?
It's like truth.
And grace, I think. Maybe.
Saved, I think. Saved. And also, if you're in need of a meal, and, you know, this COVID thing got you out, and you're not able to work and you're in a tight spot, message us. No one's taking us up on that yet, but there's we can get your meal, get something sent to you. Delivered to your door for $3.99.
Definitely. Also, make sure to download our app.
Yep.
Mosai Media.
You get to hear bullshit like what we just did, and even better.
Shameless plug.
And coming up, we have a new series coming out called A Day in the Life, and we're about to drop the first episode with Wanja, and it came out pretty good. It's a new format for stories.
It's great. It's like a mini documentary.
Yeah, man. Good stuff. All right, man. I need to turn the AC on. It's getting hot. Wait, hold up, hold up. Before you do that, let's just give him a little bit of. Let's give him a little bit of this. You got me up.
That new one. Hey.
I think you run that slideshow.
Label me a hoe. I said how you figure. Slam the